I usually don't do this. Usually try to prepare a Musar idea and try to flesh it out to learn a little bit with the Talmidim. But I think, as you heard from the Rosh Yeshiva and Torah Shraga this week, there is so much Musar from stories about snow stories. And I want to share with you what jumps out at me. Three simple stories about snow. Try to bring out a very, very important lesson. And maybe think about some of the things that we've experienced in this week. And every experience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, we're supposed to use it L'skarev L'Hashem. One of the first things that I think about when I see a quiet Yerushalayim street covered in snow is a description, very simple description, a beautiful description of someone who was in Geula in the early 1950s, maybe even late 40s, and he sees a figure in the snow alone. So already in the night, the snow is falling, and there's a figure dancing in the snow. He's interested to see who's this Meshigana dancing in the snow. And he runs and he sees that's no one less than Reb Lazer Shach. It was Reb Shach. He had just come out of the Brisker Rav's house. And the fellow asked him, he said to him, Reb Lazer, what are you dancing about? And he said to him, every single time I come out of the Brisker Rav's house, I feel like I want to dance. The Torah of the Brisker Rav is so beautiful. I'm not talking about the Musar of the Brisker Rav. The Musar of the Brisker Rav was very tough. But the Torah of the Brisker Rav is so, so beautiful. And I always want to dance, but I'm always embarrassed. And now I thought no one was watching. Story number one. I was zochet to learn in Tarvadas. And one of the Rosh Yeshivas that were revered in Tarvadas before my time was Reb Elia Chazan. And of course, in Brooklyn, it's not uncommon to have snowstorms. And the Rabbeim in Tarvadas would always say over and over again the story with Rav Chazan. Rav Chazan used to have 30, 40 boys in a shir. One time there was a snowstorm, and only two or three guys came, and Rav Chazan also came. And Rav Chazan gave shir as if the classroom was full, as if there were 40 guys there. The Yeshiva Sinai Tzadol was the opposite. The guys were here, but the Rabbeim weren't. But the class, there was almost no one there. And he gave shir in an animated fashion, excited. So the boys asked him, Rebbe, you know, there was two of us that were sitting in front of you. There weren't 30, 40 boys. So Rav Chazan said to them, you didn't see? The classroom was full. It's full. It was full of your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. I'm saying shir to all of them. That's story number two. Story number three is the most powerful one for contemporary times. I'm not sure if I've mentioned it in the past. I believe I heard this story from Reb Rafal Willig. The Rav Gorelick finished shir in YU in the 60s. Rav Gorelick was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, who in the language of some never fully adjusted to America and at times felt that he was still in Brisk. And Rav Gorelick came out of shir, it was a snowy day, and he saw the guys in the shir in the 60s, they were having a snowball fight. And Rav Gorelick was furious. This is what you do after a shir? We're talking about now, these Talmidim are now famous Rabbanim, famous Rosh Yeshivas. And Rav Gorelick said to them, in Brisk, noch der shir, azoyab minishketan. In Brisk, after shir, that's not what we were doing. When the Rebbe left, we were still fighting and learning. A snowball fight, that's not what we were having. He turned around, he started walking away, and he said, Ich will nicht shum shaychis zu das. I don't want to have any shaychis to this. Continued a few more paces. And he said, Und euch, and you guys, say it in the English. My Yiddish is also getting rusty. He said, you guys are going to have a snowball fight with your students. You're going to have to participate. And the person who told me the story then said, that was the Rabbeim in the 60s and the early 70s. And in our generation, we, the Rabbeim, are the ones who have to start the snowball fight. Rav Gorelick said, that's not the way it is. That's not how he's going to do it. The next generation have to have the snowball fights. And nowadays, Nebuch, we, the Rabbeim, this is what we have to do. To get the guys going, we've got to have the snowball fights. Rabosai, there's a unifying theme behind all three of these stories I want to bring home. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Tshuvas, asks an amazing kasha and gives a beautiful mahalach. In Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, Siman Gimel, I've mentioned this in a totally different context, with a totally different agenda. Rav Moshe mentions the position of the Shagas Aryeh. Bear with me for 3 minutes. I want to share with you a yesod in Birchas HaTorah. And I want to try to drive home a very, very important nekuda. Rav Moshe says that when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, the Shagas Aryeh has a fascinating position. He says, let's say you have a suffix whether you made Birchas HaTorah. You had a suffix whether you slept enough. You're not sure if you made a Birchas HaTorah or not. The halacha is, and this is gepaskined in Orach Chaim Siman Mem Zayin, like this Shagas Aryeh, you actually only make one bracha. The bracha that you make is Asher Bochar Banu. You don't make the bracha Lasso, continuing Va'arevna, just Asher Bochar Banu. Asks Rav Moshe, there's another case where we're machmir because the bracha is Doraisa, yet once you start making the bracha, you make all the brachas. We're going to compare now Birchas HaTorah to Birchas HaMazon. When it comes to Birchas HaMazon, if a person has a suffix whether they said Birchas HaMazon or not, so according to some opinions, three brachos are deraisa. The last bracha, Tov HaMeitiv, is only derabanan. What's the halacha if you have a suffix? What are you supposed to bench? You bench everything. Asks Rav Moshe, but wait a second. If the halacha is when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, once you have to start benching, you say everything. So too, when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, you have to say the bracha of Asher Bochar Banu. You have to say Birchas HaTorah because it didn't do a raisa. Kishem Hashem Ekra v'godol Elokeinu. So once you do that, you should have to say all the Birchas HaTorah. Answers Rav Moshe, Yesod Godol. And this Yesod Godol Rabosai, I want you to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh on this Yesod. Says Rav Moshe, there are two totally different brachas. The bracha of Lasok v'divrei Sorah and the bracha of Asher Bochar Banu is not like the bracha of Atov HaMeitiv, which is directly connected to the rest of Birchas HaMazon. Rather, when it comes to the Birchas HaTorah, Lasok is a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You have to learn. Learning is the most important mitzvah that we have. Lasok v'divrei Sorah. Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. Maybe afilu al zeh amru Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. On a Birchas HaMitzvah, if you have a suffix, suffix brachas l'kula. You don't say the bracha again. However, the bracha of Asher Bochar Banu is an entirely different thing. Asher Bochar Banu frames our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah so. Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Amin V'Nosan Lanu Es Torah So. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us and He gave of Himself. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Anochi Anon Nafshi Kasvi Yovis. I've given my essence to you, Klal Yisrael. It's not a Maisa Mitzvah. It's not a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah. The bracha is a totally separate bracha. It frames everything that Talmud Torah is about. And of course, that's the Pshat in the Gemara Nedarim that says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we didn't make a Birchas HaTorah first. The Gemara is not talking about the bracha of Lasok b'divrei Sorah. That's a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah. The Maisa Mitzvah is Lasok. But the entire frame of what Torah is all about is the relationship of the Nasan Lonu Es Torah So, Asher Bochar Bonu. And that's why you don't repeat the bracha of Lasok. That's where Moshe's Yisayit. Rabosai, there are two parts to Talmud Torah. Rav Moshe is teaching us. There are some people who fall into the trap that they look at Torah as another discipline, a discipline of the Jewish people. There are some people who appreciate what Torah is, religious people, who look at Torah as the defining characteristic, Talmud Torah, as the defining characteristics of what has kept us as a unique people. We are a people of the book. But if that's how you formulate the significance of Talmud Torah, that's Talmud Torah only as a mitzvah of lasok b'divrei Torah. The true essence of Talmud Torah is asher bochar banu. That's what's ma'akev in Talmud Torah. That's what defines our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what these three stories have in common? What these three stories have in common is the determination of Talmidim and Rabbeim to make sure that Torah was a continuation of a Shalshelas HaMesorah and a determination that Talmud Torah was not just simply about fulfilling a Maisa Mitzvah and turning pages. Even in the right way, Lasok B'Divrei Torah, even with the Isaskus. But something that defines who we are and our relationship with Kudsha Brichu. Something that defines Anan Nafshi Kasvi Yovis. And without that Rebbe Talmud relationship, without that determination to hold on to that Shalshelas HaMesorah, then we've lost the essence of what Talmud Torah is all about. Maybe they said Lasok V'Divrei Torah Bizman Churban Abayis. But the Asher Bochar Banu, that was what was missing. I heard that Rav David drove 5 hours to get here to yeshiva. Das heißt der Rebbe. That's what a Rebbe is about. That's a relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud. That's what Rav Shach was feeling in his learning. Rav Shach lived in Bnei Brak, but he was out of sorts if he couldn't say it over to the Brisker Rav. He just couldn't go on. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I'm saying this because I think maybe the Talmidim will learn. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita was not able to leave his house this week. He's well, Baruch Hashem. The Rosh Hashiva of Netiv Arye Rav Bina told him he doesn't want him leaving because God forbid he doesn't want him to fall. I fell myself walking to yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, I'm young. But he didn't want him to leave the whole week. He wasn't in yeshiva. I feel out of sorts. Ad kedei kach, that I told the Gemara Rashi told us the shir, so most of that I learned how from Rav Branshbig how to teach. But halacha, I felt like I was out of whack the entire week. I told Rav Gidon that I don't want him to put out this week the halacha shir that I gave in Grus. Because I wasn't able to discuss it with Rav Nevinsel beforehand. And I felt like I made more mistakes because I didn't have my Rebbe to talk to. Halacha is not just a simple set of rules. If you don't have the Rebbe's hadracha, if there isn't a sense of hadracha, Rebbe Talmud, then you're entirely lost. And we have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Are we simply turning the pages and getting the information, or are we becoming a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Messiah? And your Rabbeim are committed to that, but you also have to be committed to it as well. It needs to be bi-directional. And that's what Rav Gorelick was saying as well. Are you looking at your Rabbeim simply as Rabbeim who are there to excite you to turn the pages of Torah? Have we come to a point that the Rabbeim are there for edutainment? Yeah, of course the Rabbeim are starting the snowball fights because they want to get the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash. But is that where it's ending? Then we're missing the essence of Asher Bochar Banu. That sense of the Shalshelas HaMesorah, the Amita Shel Torah that goes down from Rebbe to Talmud to Rebbe to Talmud. The Talmud called me up. Unfortunately, he had Yuridus. Serious Yuridus. And he said to me, bright boy, did well in yeshiva. Let's not kid ourselves. This happens. He said to me, Rebbe, I have hashkafic issues. I want to come to Eretz Yisrael to discuss with you. And Rabosai, I gave it to him over the phone. I said to him, let's call a spade a spade. Is this hashkafic issues? Or now there's a religious crisis. But he's so bright and he's so intelligent, he could frame his crisis as a hashkafic issue. Hashkafa. This is a Talmud that might have learned a lot. He was Osek B'Divrei Sora, and there are people like this. He was Osek B'Divrei Sora, but the transformation in his Metzius, that Asher Bachar Banu, the sense of an Asan Lanu as Torah, so the Rebbe-Talmud relationship, and maybe the Rabbeim also came up short. We also failed. When a Talmud fails, the Rebbe failed. But a person could be excelling in Lasok B'Divrei Sora, and he could be the Kaim the Mitzvah, and he's going to get that Schar in Olam Haba, but the transformation of his Nefesh, that's what's missing. Snow stories are part of a beautiful Masorah. Why are they such a charming part of our beautiful Masorah? The reason they're a charming part of our beautiful Masorah is because it brings out something very, very special about the connection between Rabbeim and Talmidim. It shows us the priorities. It brings out the sense of priorities of what's really important to us. And Rabosai, I beg of you to ask yourself this question. You're putting in a lot of time of Hisaskus. You're being Osek B'Divrei Sora. But are you feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is becoming a part of you? The saying, Chalkeinu B'Sora Sefer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Siyata D'Shmaya. That we should grow Mailo U'Mailo B'Toraso. We should B'Zochu B'Sora So Yegon V'Laila. And eventually that Torah should be really and truly a chelek of us. Thank you.